By a stroke of good fortune, your wireless set's tuned to Resonance 104.4 FM. My name's Jack Thurston, and this is The Bike Show. It's with some sadness that I have to say that this is the last in the current season of The Bike Show. We're going to be taking a bit of a break for the next 6 weeks, coming back in June in time for Bike Week and of course the forward look to Le Tour de France. But to make up for that sadness, it's with enormous pleasure that this week's show means we're going to be going out on a really high note. And what we have on the show this week really epitomises the whole philosophy that's behind The Bike Show and that's been motivating me and everybody else who's been involved in the show for the last couple of years. It's about getting out on your bike, experiencing the world in a different way. It's not about riding really fast or really far or having the best kind of bike. It's not even about what kind of bike you have at all. It's about the spirit of the bicycle and the way in which the bicycle makes you think and helps you to think differently about the world around you. In a really inspired bit of cultural tourism promotion, the Essex Regional Development Agency has teamed up with Martin Newell, who describes himself on his website as England's busiest wordsmith, tunesmith and horticultural assassin. Many of you might know him as a collaborator with XTC and other musical projects, but it's his poetry that is the focus of the project that he's doing out in Essex at the moment. The project's called Spoken Word, bit of a pun in there, and it's involving Martin taking small groups of people out on their bicycles around an area of Essex near Wivenhoe on the coast down there, and reading some poetry and just interacting with the world around them. Kieran Yates went down to Wivenhoe to meet up with Martin at the press launch. So for the next 25 minutes or so, sit back, enjoy the sheer pleasure of riding around the Essex countryside with Martin Newell as your guide. Kieran Yates started off by asking Martin to explain the origins of the project.
It's really to promote Essex. It's in conjunction with the organisation Insight, who are the Essex Cultural Regeneration Body or Agency. And they asked for various of us to submit ideas, and mine was one of the ones that appealed to them, and that was just that I would take people, small parties of tourists, by bike or on foot, once a day, to round the particularly beautiful part of my own part of North East Essex, on foot, just not big yomps or mega hikes, just and read them poetry, intersperse these walks with poetry or the cycle rides with poetry, so that people, visitors to any host area, saw the area through the eyes of a living writer or artist, as opposed to through heritage industry spin and nonsense, you know, where you get this is Wordsworth country or this is Kathleen Cookson country or Catherine Cookson,
right.
You know,
it's,
so you don't get that
about,
so
the areas you experience it,
yeah, so you don't get cream tea and you don't get cream tea and a heritage experience and a little trip around a dusty museum. You get the actual writer who's living there now saying, this is what happens here, and they used to do the such and such, and they used to mine snuff here or something like that, you know, whatever. They didn't used to mine snuff here, actually, but a lot of gravel work and a very interesting old Norman church.
Reading some of your poems and listening to some of your songs, you do have a very contemporary take on Essex life.
Well, it's because I live here, and I'm aware of the influence of modern life and London on it, but I'm also, because this is a rural area, and Essex is 70% rural, which a fact which will surprise many metropolitans.
Yeah, well, I live just on the border of Western Essex, and there it's kind of like California and East London. It's kind of large cars and suntans all the time. So
Essex has traditionally had a love affair with the motor trade, but that's, you know, there are plenty of off the beaten track type places. And I don't think the London world seems to know about it, because those who do come up east usually go to Suffolk or the places that are written about in the colour pamphlets handed out by the Quality Broadsheet. And Essex is, you know, it's always been great cycling country. There's always been this relationship between, especially the east part of London and Essex. People used to do walks up here. My mate, who I was in a band with, was called the Essex Stag. He was called Young Pepper, and he used to, you know, typically walk 60 miles, 70 miles in a day. They had walking competitions. It's kind of hard to imagine, but they did.
What kind of distance will the cycle tour cover?
Oh, the sissy rides, really. They're about 5 miles, and the walk about the same. But with stops for poetry readings and me sort of telling anecdotes, which I do naturally anyway, as you can sense. Yes.
And I believe at one time you did a whole tour of the south of England with a rock band.
In 1989, when the Cleaners from Venus broke up, and Nell, who's another Colchester lad, who's now with New Model Army, left with me, and we made a small album as a one-off project. It was called The Brotherhood of Lizards. And the record company said, I don't suppose there's any chance of you guys touring it, is there? And I said, only if we do it by bicycle. And they took us up on it, and I figured out a way of doing it. And we went from Colchester to Bury St Edmunds, Bury St Edmunds to Peterborough, Peterborough to Cambridge, Cambridge to Bedford, Bedford to Milton Keynes, Milton Keynes to Oxford, Oxford to Swindon, Swindon to Bath. We stay in these places, we do a busk in the street, sometimes a gig, we do a radio interview, we do another busk, we get up, we cycle, we do the same thing, and it lasted a month. And it got us so much television, and it was 1989, so green wasn't quite trendy then, and it was... You know, we said, well, we're green, friendly, soft anarchists. And it was kind of like the rest of the world loved us doing it and being green for them. Like, I suppose, like a lot of men who drink in pubs, like Clint Eastwood being brave for them, or Gazza being a good footballer for them. So we got a pat on the back from the rest of the world at that point.
Right, and you don't own a car at all, and you won't travel out of the country by plane, so you're quite dedicated to...
I have been in planes, but since we have Eurostar, there's no excuse for anyone to go into Europe, you know, other than by train now. Because you can, I mean, if I went on the Eurostar now, I could get to Dortmund easily from Gare du Nord, and I could go to Lille and get to the south of the country from there. I could get to Italy, I could do the Transalpine, and there's no excuse to go to Europe by plane, or not near Europe, and there's really no excuse to go to America at all at the moment, is there?
Not particularly, but although I'm going myself in a few weeks' time, so I'm not going to comment on that too much.
Well, don't bother wearing any shoes. Have your fingerprints ready. Yes. And the name of the doctor who circumcised you. I can remember the name of the doctor who circumcised me, as a matter of fact. Dr. Whitby, Harpenden in Hertfordshire. Second week of March 1953. Red-haired man, very bad-tempered. I met him years later in late life. A splenetic, right. Man.
And how old were you when it happened?
Week old. They believed in doing
but,
it.
But you remembered the occasion.
No, my mother told me. I blamed him ever since. You know, I used to think. God, then it got to you get into teenagers, and it's all roundheads and cavaliers, isn't it? Friendly, snapping tails and twisting nipples in the changing room. It's a slippery slope, isn't it?
Yes, right. You seem to have this fascination with sustainable transport then.
Yeah, I always have. And I don't know what it is about cars, but I've always been really scared. Charlotte, who designed the posters and came up with the name Spoken Word, Miss Charlotte Monet's here, who did that, she can drive a car, but she's never driven to London. And she once drove me into the south of County, but she only went on the little roads, so we don't like the big roads very much. And I'm just too scared to even drive a car. I have occasional nightmares that I am put in charge of driving a car. The other day I was asking, what's the one that makes you go fast, the accelerator? I said, is that the centre one? She said, no, that's the right-hand one, I think. So that's how much I know. I can't actually start one.
Right.
If there was a herd of burning mutants after me and you gave me the keys of a Jensen, I wouldn't know what was required.
So you've been a keen cyclist, that's been your main mode of transport for quite some time.
Yeah, all my life. And walking. No scooters, I never had a scooter. But that's and trains, when they worked. And I used to, once upon a time, to tour by bike and train, because when the trains started to get really bad, I thought, well, you could still open a door and put your bicycle out on the platform that we'd stopped at, and then cycle from there, anything up to 20 miles on. Once coming home from that bike tour, and I desperately wanted to get home, the trains were only going as far as Witton because of track repairs. So I said I wanted to go to Wivenhoe, and they sold me the ticket to Witham, and I cycled the last 20 miles home with a full packs and everything, and a guitar on my back and full panniers. And you could do that then, but now, since then, they've realised that people are having could find a way of getting around that system by having bikes. So they've made things difficult for cyclists now. I was at Paddington, and I saw it said, "Sorry, no bikes." Sorry, no bikes. This was a rush hour train. Sorry, no bikes. And then the last one just said, "Sorry, no trains." It is pathetic. You know, it's pathetic. And, you know, all I can say is, you know, see Queen Tony and Bumface about it, really, at the Exchequer, really. Well, you know, instead of having a war, perhaps they could improve the transport system. Yeah.
She's taking washing in. All her principles gone in the bin. As she queues for her shares by the door. Looks like I've missed the fashions. Lifestyle gurus are a waste of rations. And I couldn't care anymore. Wake up, forget the coffee. Me and Mick are going down the Yoffie, where the light spears the fog on the streets. Wake up and let's get wasted. All that special brew you never tasted, when it ran down your chin to your feet. And if you should see her, tell her I can do without it. Give me a beer, one more can and I'll forget about it. Stay care from birth to death waits for you. I wouldn't hold your breath with a burden of learning to do. It's so acceptable that I don't wanna be respectable. Spare any change for a brew. Wake up, forget the coffee. Me and
poetry became your principal occupation or secondary occupation.
Yeah.
Around about the...
It's hardly anyone's principal occupation. Dead people. English like... You know, I ask students in schools, young students, I say, what kind of person is a poet? And they say dead or mad people are poets, you know.
but you became turned to poetry in the early 90s.
Yeah, I did.
And publishing poetry around.
I said, how do I get paid? And that's all. And they said, well, you know, you can write for newspapers. So I started writing for newspapers. And then I started meeting real poets who weren't paid anything but had got PhDs. And they said, how are you getting paid? You know, and I said, well, I get up in the morning and write at 9 o'clock as opposed to, you know, working at night, and I write loads of it, you know, never mind the quality, feel the width kind of stuff. And when people ring up, say, could you do some poetry about the fact there are, you know, no plumbers or anything? I go, sure. They say, but you're not supposed to do that. It's cheating, actually, you know, working and things. And so at first it got to other writers coming up to me saying, oh, yeah, I heard you'd had a bit of luck. That sort of thing, like.
Right.
And then finally I'm getting published. This got beyond a joke, you know. And, you know, I just got published more and more. And then I started putting books out, a book a year. And that's seen as cheating. You're not supposed to be successful as a poet. The British hate it. You're not supposed to be successful in Britain at all. They hate you for that anyway.
Who would you say your major poetic influences were or
are? A.E. Housman and John Betjeman.
Right.
It was also hated. John Betjeman was hated. Academics especially hate. They reserve a special contempt for John Betjeman because he was so... Because people liked him. Philip Larkin, that's more like it. Miserable bastard. Lived in Hull. Serial philanderer. You know, wonderful intellectual. Wrote horrible, repugnant letters. Exchanged horrible, repugnant letters with another great flatulent bore, Kingsley Amis. and spent all their time doing that. And, you know, they were Oxbridge as well. You know, well, not Betjeman was well. Betjeman, I think he was running two chicks at the same time. But they forgave him that because he wrote lovely poems about trains and suburbia. And, but, you know, the revisionist also... Marxists hated that. You can never trust a bloody Marxist, can you?
but that's also kind of thematically what you're interested in as well, the kind of almost...
And Nessie Gritty, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the knife that we get out to put the margarine on our bread with. That's yeah. That's the kind of thing. The small things.
Good night, country girl. I left my big coat on the hook in the hall. If it gets cold tomorrow, you'll need it outside. Good night, country girl, and good luck with the kitchen. The cooker's all right, but the sink's slow to drain. There's a pan in the corner which catches the rain. Good night, country girl. Be back someday. Me and the boy, we've got to go away, away. Mend some fences. Stand in the freezing cold and earn some pay. And good night, country girl. Please make sure my dog doesn't chase any trains. If you don't take a firm hand, he'll do it again. Good night, country girl. And good night, country girl. John said he'd call in the week if he could. If he owes me a favor, he pays me in wood. Good night, country girl.
Tilty, Wimbish, Stebbing, Shopland, Chipping Ongar, Ingatestone, all the market towns and hamlets on the rivers Crouch or Colne, west of Walton, east of Easton, Shallow Bowls to Hanningfield, London's Breadbin, Lungs and Lovenest, Beaches, Birdland, Wood and Weald, Essex, Shaxes, Sheaves and Shield. Here the horsemen met for racing, here the highwaymen were hung, here the painter saw the skyline, here the tide would poke its tongue, in among the samphire saltings while the sun set sea alight, here the smugglers moved the Malmsey up the creek in dead of night, customs cutter out of sight. Saucy, sexy, seaside Essex, driest place in British Isles, where the robbers took retirement when the Sweeney shut the files. Home of rock and naughty rhythms, pirates, paramounts and Procol Harum, Hot Rods, Ian Dury, Dr. Feelgood, they were local, with Lee Brillo on lead vocal. Epic Essex, best for bike rides, liberally laced with lanes, pubs to punctuate the pedalling, flower baskets hung on chains. Coastal Essex, secret rivers, heron-haunted waterland, where the silver light in autumn lingers for a saraband on the shingle and the sand. Here are tales of long-dead writers, ghostly bikers, missing planes, council gardens, scrapyards, thatches, cricket matches seen from trains, yellow fields in dazzled springtime varnished by a Van Gogh sky, blind the copses and the spinneys where the rooks are building high and the world goes skating by, where the weather-boarded cottage waits in muddy monochrome, nestling with new commuters and the future coming home. Envious London, stuck in traffic, simmering its quiet desires, senses Essex spanning endless, hazier than orchard fires, out beyond those distant spires.
I'm not going mad, I'm not going mad, I'm not going mad, I'm not going mad. Thank you.
This is where the ferry departs from. Don't let him fall yet. We won't have one until probably later. Exactly.
You get ferry timetable and news agents. The ferry takes off from here and takes about 8 or 10 minutes to get down to Roehedge and back. Occasionally they'll take you up to the Barry. It's about £1, and they'll take bikes. So if you've got a bike and you ever want a tour there, because if you don't come around here, believe it or not, it will take you about 20 minutes or more to drive round to there, probably more in the traffic. And there is no bridge. But if you want to take your bike over there, you've got to cycle around there. It's slightly better because you've got a cycle path. But the best way, if the ferry's not too busy, is to get your bike, then get the bike to drop you over there and ask them what time they've finished. Then you've got access to the whole of the Mersey and all the other places, which is wonderful cycling over there, but I can talk, so I hardly ever do it, but I have done it.
Actually, I'll tell you what I will do. I'll do this, because it's my bike phone.
It's very good.
It's the sound of a bike, which is part of the deal, and the well-oiled whir of the sprocket and wheel, for the sound of a bike is distinctly genteel, and is holier now than the automobile. To cycle in autumn, where cars never go, past workings abandoned to rabbit and crow, with a willow herb wind for the ghost of a train, now the cinder path track is a two-wheel domain. Or when 60-watt sun is a strobe in the oaks, and the frost goes to steam in the blur of the spokes, the forest edge echoes to birds calling back at the squeak of the brakes over jolts in the track. But when summer sets fire to the heathland again, and the crowds from the town clog the road and the lane, you can travel first class in the quieter terrain on a modest device powered by pedal and chain. From the click of its gears to the crick of its seat, the sound of a bike has a subtler beat in the spin of machinery working its core than any contraption made now or before.
So is this a route that you kind of cycle yourself quite a lot?
Oh, yeah. That's why I know it. That's why it's been devised like this. I thought this is the... Probably... I mean, I road tested it a few times, this actual route. But this is probably... The best we can do and have poetry in 2 hours. If we're doing no poetry and just a ride, we'll probably get even more variation.
Uh-huh.
Because we'll only have done about 5 miles in 2 hours, which isn't a huge amount. Oh, right. The words out. There is an accent in North Essex, which some of you will know, but I sound like this. I'm known for doing it quite well. I lived here for a couple of 3 years, and this is about that kind of chap who, I mean, not John, there's a bit of him in it, but a bloke who worked opposite my dad, he's dead now, he's a wood chip merchant, never had a bank account, taxman, never knew him, just always was in business, lived in a big house, bit like Pop Larkin, only maybe slightly darker. Or, but basically this story is about another mate of mine called Carl, who was actually had a drug problem. He did die in the barmaid's bed. Upstairs in the barmaid's quarters in a pub, and I was just thinking, he was 19, he was still good looking, he had a little bit too much of something, and a bit too much, something gave out in his heart, and he died in the barmaid's bed. And she was an older woman as well, he was about probably 19, 20, something like that, and she was about 30 something and had been married. And you just thought, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? When you're a young chap, you're gonna die. So, this was a traditional Essex funeral based on all those things, plywood coffin draped in sacks. Funeral feast of crisps and snacks, poor man's Prozac special brew, massive turnout, guests all knew. This is what the vicar said. Found him dead in a barmaid's bed. Found him dead in a barmaid's bed. Lacy knickers on his head. What with all the gossip spread, bound to raise his local cred. Women tutted, men said odd, there but for the grace of God. Not behaviour I'd endorse, envious as hell of course. Seeing him in that state of grace, hard to keep a serious face. Should have legged it, died instead. Found him dead in a barmaid's bed. Man of Essex, thoroughbred, lead in pencil, gear in shed, brass in pocket, books in red, always kept his ferrets fed. Found him dead in a barmaid's bed. Found him dead in a barmaid's bed. Good old boy, they quietly said. Found him dead in a barmaid's bed. Well, I think the worst thing to do on a Saturday morning than this, really. This is Saturday morning, because it confused me on yesterday. It's good Saturday today. And we will have to dismount. There's suddenly a very steep drop along here, Jack. So, you need to dismount. This is not safe to cycle down here. Here we are, right on the estuary. On a marsh, isn't that? So, these marshes, they do make their own sound. They do it, yeah.
sounds like a giant stomach digesting things. No, no, it's constantly, yeah, it sounds like something eating, doesn't it? I mean, it is, in a way.
Slowly nibbling at...
So you can smell the seaweed and the sea, and the estuary's out there. God, there's someone moored a houseboat out there. That's new.
Do you get a lot of houseboats?
It's not really, no. There's mooring charges, and the local, not yacht club, but the local sailing club are a bit dog in the manger about there, you know, who does what. And there's not many places, believe it or not, there's not many, nowhere to set, put, to, what's that sign, what's it called? Put ashore in Wivenhoe that isn't run by them. And so they get a bit funny even if you take a rowing boat, if you're not one of the club. But this is just the marshes, so you could, there's nothing to stop you. It's a proper houseboat, that. Very rich in bird life, there's curlews and that. There's Wivenhoe, that's where we're going, out along this path. I should do this bit about Wivenhoe, right? Because Wivenhoe is known as being a bit of a sleepy hollow where people turn up, you know. I mean, I once came for a... I've been here a few times, but I once came to stay here for 3 months in 1979 as well. And I haven't moved out since then, but I lived here in 75. I came to stay with a girlfriend in 75 and didn't move out till 77 or something. And then came back in 79 for 3 months, and I've been here ever since. This is extracts from The Wild Man of Wivenhoe. Wivenhoe, an Essex village. Fishing, sailing, art and tillage. Winter's tranquil, summer's frantic, bacchanalian, more than tantric, part suburbia, part bohemia, with a dash of academia. Long weekends are hard to sever. Some who visit stay forever. Wivenhoe, the verb, you know, meaning to stagnate, go slow, as you stop to have a drink or distract yourself with drink, leading to a veil of tears and a block of several years while you sit and drain your cup. Partner leaves and kids grow up. Till one day you wake and find, when your summer's far behind, life's great lawn remains unmowed, and you have been Wivenhoed. Wivenhoe, that old condition where you may abort the mission if you're short of inspiration, but you have an explanation leading to another session in the pub to cure depression. Here you'll find they sympathise with your ill-constructed lies as you sip your drink and chatter, thinking that it doesn't matter, but a decade down the road you will find your Wivenhoed. Fingering-hoed, an awful state. Weekend sailor's usual fate. Up ship creek and screaming, save me. Common in the Romford Navy. Loud of mouth and short of knowledge. Never been to sailing college. Ends in tears, as you'd expect. Pride and speedboats often wrecked. Now, the Romford Navy is the name that proper old sailors here call those people in speedboats who turn up in the summer weekends and they've got outriders who are on jet skis. They turn up and say, all right, I'm from Romford anyway, eh? And they're still from Essex, so we have to call them that respect. When the Romford Navy sail, seamanship's as good as Braille to a blind man who won't read it, for these sailors do not need it. Captains all, with crew, their wives, scant regard for others' lives, steering speedboats much like tanks, slaying swans and ramming banks with their friends, the jet ski clan, seaborne wing of Essex man. And that's, the Romford Navy. Well, they hire from Brightlingsea often. There's a place that hires, I can't remember the name of the type of plastic boat, Oldbergs or Oldenbergs or something. And some of them came up once, and I just saw these guys on... The customs guys have tightened up a bit on them now. But when the jet skis first came out, it was just like having those young lads on scooters, but on the water.
Yeah.
They're really rude.
Terrible.
Really abusive, you know. But it's kind of hard to chase you if you're on the ground on a bike, you know.
Kieran Yates was riding there with Martin Newell, and if you want to go on one of those rides, they're going on all through May, and the best way to find out when and where is to get in contact with Martin, and I've put the links to how to do that by email on the website, which is www.bikeshow.blogspot.com. The Bike Show's back again on the 12th of June. Until then, happy riding and chapeau!